It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Bobby Sylvester. We're going to do a start-sit episode here in a moment, but first I want to tell you about something DraftKings is doing this season that is just absolutely amazing. What I'm about to tell you has never been done in the history of fantasy sports. DraftKings is celebrating the return of fantasy football season by giving you a shot to be crowned the first ever fantasy football billionaire. That's billion with a B. If you draft the perfect lineup this Sunday, you can win $1 billion. All you have to do is use the promo code FANTASYPROS to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total guaranteed prizes this Sunday. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. It's free. Why shouldn't you try? That's DraftKings.com, code FANTASYPROS. All right, let's talk some football. Welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast for Week 1 Start Sitting Rankings. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere. Tags, I'm telling you what, I am taking home that $1 billion. I'll even buy you a Sammy Watkins jersey when I do.
I'll take it. I mean, I'll take an Amari Cooper jersey too, and I expect it to be like an authentic one, not like one of those ones with the peel-off letters and numbers. I want sewn-on numbers, Bobby.
There you go, man. That sounds good to me. I'd take an Amari Cooper jersey, too. Both these guys, I think, are due for pretty big seasons, and especially big week ones. We're going to be talking about that today. First, I want to say this. I am declaring this National Podcast Producer Day. Our producer, Clinton, does a killer job. I speak for both Tags and I when I say he's the real MVP. So thank you, Clinton, for making this a great preseason, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, there's been some blunders that you guys have not heard because he is very good at his job. So, I look forward to this. This is, we're finally here. We've talked the last few months about everything over and over and over. And now we're finally at the point where we get to talk about week one matchups. I released my massive, massive week one primer this morning. It's a doozy. It's like 16,000 words, Bobby. And I'm upset because I wrote up the Dolphins game, the Dolphins Bucks game. And that was like, you know, I don't know how many, I think it's like 1,000 words in itself. And that went in the trash. Why? Because the game is canceled. If you guys are listening, the game is canceled. You're not going to be able to play any Bucks or Dolphins. They're moving their game to week 11, which it just so happened that both teams had a week 11 bye week. So now these two teams, Bobby, they don't get a bye week at all during the season. I think that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. Someone said on Twitter today, I wish I remember who it was, maybe Evan Silva. I don't know. Someone said the Packers played 16 straight weeks last year, and no one's talking about that if you include the playoffs and everything. So, I think these players can do it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And for fantasy purposes, I think if you have these players, you weren't planning on it. but it probably helps you out quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I think they could do it. It's just everybody else is going to have fresh legs, you know, getting a bye somewhere in the middle of the year. And it's just like, you know, these teams grind it out, man. I don't think people realize just how much of a beating they take. But at the same time, yeah. People have asked me about Doug Martin. And just so you guys know, it was a suspension. It's not like up until this week. He's serving a 3-game suspension. So it is going to be pushed back where he's going to return week 5 instead of week 4. So there's news there. Yeah, and then Bobby, the news on Ezekiel Elliott, you want to touch on that?
Yeah, so Zeke is going to be playing for week 1. The suspension was upheld at 6 games. I spoke with a friend of the podcast. He comes on all the time, Dan Harrison. He clued me in on what's going on here, basically saying like the court has already ruled in the Tom Brady case that Roger Goodell has all this authority over the NFL. He can basically do whatever he wants, and that's why the suspension was upheld by Brady. So even though Elliott is suing, there's just no chance. They're not going to change the precedent that's already been set. It could be pushed back further, but it's almost certainly not going to be. So Ezekiel Elliott out weeks 2 through 8 because you have to factor in their bye week that's in there too.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I said this is that, you know, it was a risky pick when you took it. You almost wanted him to sit out this week, right? Like, you don't want to play in the Giants. This is a team.
Exactly.
In the 2 games that Ezekiel Elliott played against the Giants last year, he didn't top 12 PPR points in either game. So it's not like it's a great matchup that he's coming back for, and he hasn't practiced with the ones. You know, I'm sure they were giving Darren McFadden a lot of those reps. So, I mean, you're obviously starting him as an RB1. It's just, I think if you're a Zeke owner, I'd rather have him, you know, towards like the latter parts of the season than in week 1.
Here's the really funny thing, Tags, and somebody mentioned this that's in the podcast listener league today. So they drafted Ezekiel Elliott and Jaquizz Rodgers because, you know, it makes sense. You've got Rodgers for 3 weeks and then Zeke. Well, you know, when Rodgers was going to be out, it was like, man, well, this is all screwed up now. Well, now it's back to normal. You know, Zeke is playing week 1. Rodgers isn't. And it's just really funny how that worked out.
Yeah, it's so odd. You got people out there that have Doug Martin and Jaquizz Rodgers figuring they'd be safe, you know, and no, didn't really work out. So it's a weird news week, but we're going to be talking a lot of sit start today, right?
That's right. By the way, we still have the David Johnson signed jersey sweepstakes going on from pristineauction.com. We're going to be giving it away to one lucky listener. Just subscribe and review us on iTunes, then take a screenshot and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. We'll pick out one name, send them a signed David Johnson jersey for their cave or office. Pristine Auction does some awesome stuff. David Johnson, man.
Yeah, that's the part. Like, I know some people, and I know there's some people out there who still have not left a review. And I'm just telling you, if you're listening right now and you're like, it's going to be too much of a pain. If your friend came over to you right now and was like, hey, if you send this email, like, you have a chance to win a David Johnson jersey. And it's like 1 in 1,000 odds because we have right around 1,000 reviews. You will never get 1 in 1,000 odds to get a free David Johnson signed jersey. I'll tell you that right now. So just go over there. It literally takes a couple seconds to leave a review, send it into us, that email, and you're entered. It's that simple. And then you're entered for every other contest, so your odds just increase every single time. So get in on that, guys.
So what we're going to do with this episode here is, you know, we're going to talk start, sit, and basically all the players who are borderline that people are going to be asking questions about. I've already got a billion of them on Twitter that I'm trying to catch up on, and in the listener mailbag@fantasypros.com. I'm trying to get to as many of those as possible. I know Tags is too. We can't get to them all. I'm very sorry for that. But we're going to try to cover a lot of those questions here on the podcast today. And we're going to talk about some players that we're substantially higher on and substantially lower on than the expert consensus rankings. You know, these players aren't really start sit questions, but it's useful to know what we think about these type of players. Like, one we're going to get to is Bilal Powell. I just think it's a fantastic scenario for him to have a big game. So I've got him quite a bit higher. So what we're going to do, we're going to start at the quarterback position, just go all the way through here. So Tags, who is one player that you are starting that you, you know, might go to question on this week at quarterback?
It's going to be definitely Carson Palmer. I'm getting a lot of questions on him already. You know, a lot of people that may have Andrew Luck, they may have Jameis Winston. They're looking for these replacements. And fortunately, there's more than just one solution this week. You know, Carson Palmer is the top solution, though, for me. I'm actually putting him ahead of Tyrod Taylor just because I think there's a little bit more safety with Carson Palmer. But going to look at this Lions defense, you know, they weren't good last year at all. They allowed 7 quarterbacks last year to score 22 or more fantasy points, and 6 quarterbacks were able to throw for 300 yards or more. They did lose their top linebacker, DeAndre Levy, this offseason, so they're going to be forced to start a rookie, Jerod Davis, at middle linebacker. You know,
he's
there's
fine,
going to be
some... but he's no Levy.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He'll be fine in the long run. I think Jerod Davis was an interesting prospect, and I think he's going to turn into a solid player. But at the same time, you're talking about your middle linebacker in his first NFL game against a team like the Cardinals that has tons of veteran presence all over the place. You know, we don't know if Carson Palmer all the time is going to have a healthy Larry Fitzgerald, a healthy John Brown, a healthy David Johnson. You know, these guys on the field together are dynamic. So the fact that they're all healthy, ready to go, the offensive line is intact. Against Detroit, I'm loving this matchup. I mean, the Lions last year, just to give you an idea of why I like him even more than most people would, the Lions last year, they allowed just 5 rushing touchdowns all year. The defensive front didn't really change too much. They allowed 32 passing touchdowns. So David Johnson, while you're definitely playing him, it's more likely maybe that he scores a receiving touchdown this week than he does a rushing touchdown. So Carson Palmer, everything will flow through him. I think you could bank on 250 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's hard to find sometimes on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I agree. Carson Palmer was really good at the end of season last year. And, you know, Detroit was missing their key cornerback for most of the season. So I think that number is a little bit off in terms of what we can expect from them this season, you know, assuming that he stays healthy. But the expert consensus has Carson Palmer at number 11, which is startable in a standard league. I've got him at number 13, and it's extremely close. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't start Carson Palmer because he's one spot outside. What I am saying is if you have Sam Bradford against New Orleans, yeah, I think I'd start Sam Bradford above Carson Palmer, but it's really close. I mean, we're nitpicking there. So Sam Bradford is a guy. I've got number 12. Expert consensus is 15. So I'm not too much higher on Sam Bradford. I just think, you know, he's finally with the same offensive coordinator for the second straight year. They've got a rookie running back making his debut. I just think they pass more in this game. New Orleans, as we know, has struggled against the pass over the past, you know, 10 years or whatever. And they're going to be a little better this year. But Sam Bradford, with all the weapons he has, Kyle Rudolph, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, I like what he has going there. Delvin Cook can catch out of the backfield, too.
Yeah, for sure. And so this one is very interesting. I would play Palmer over Bradford, but it's a very close one. I have Bradford at 14. I have Palmer at 11. I don't think you can go wrong with either or. I think they're both safe cash game quarterbacks in terms of, you know, they're very, very hot. They're high floors. They may not come with the biggest upside that you want, because the Saints, actually, there was only 2 teams last year who threw for 3 or more touchdowns in 2016 against the Saints.
Right.
It was Jared Goff and Matt Ryan.
What?
Which is... Yeah, it's really odd that those are the two that actually did it. I mean, Jared Goff being the odd one there. But the Saints are going to be without their top cornerback, Delvin Bro, this week. He's actually shelved. I want to say he started on the season on IR. And the Saints with Bro, like for parts of last year, they allowed in the final 14 games... They allowed multiple passing touchdowns in 11 of them. Sam Bradford, we saw taking steps forward. Diggs is not going to be delegated just to the slot. You know, they're going to move him and Thielen back and forth. The offensive line, while they have tried to rebuild it, there's 3 new parts on that offensive line. And if there's anything you know about offensive lines, they take time to gel, to learn each other's strengths and weaknesses. I think that it's going to be difficult to project them right away to be great run blockers for Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
So Dalvin Cook is somebody who's probably going to lose some goal line work to Latavius Murray, but Sam Bradford is the thing that makes this offense move, right? So Sam Bradford is a step below Palmer for me, but I do think that Bradford is a solid start this week.
So Tags, I've got 3 other quarterbacks that I normally wouldn't start. I guess with Big Ben, I would start him almost every single week when he's healthy. I just don't know how long that's going to last. I think he's a clear-cut start. Obviously, he's playing against Cleveland. I've got him number 5. ECR has him number 7. ECR is expert consensus, by the way, if you're new to the podcast. The 2 that are kind of on the fringe here, Eli Manning, I don't think I'm going to start him virtually any week, but I'm definitely starting him this week against Dallas. I've got him number 9 and Derek Carr number 10. I know most people are thinking, well, why don't you start Derek Carr every week? I mean, I've just drafted the number 7 quarterback. I've got Derek Carr number 17 going into the season. So the fact I have him at 10 at Tennessee, who has Jarrell Casey, great on the defensive line. They can't defend the pass whatsoever. So Derek Carr is a must start for me this week with Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, both lighting it up.
Oh yeah, Derek Carr I have as my number 7 quarterback, and I might move him up from there. I love Derek Carr this week. I'm with you in that. I had him outside my top 12 quarterbacks coming into the season. I think most people were kind of shocked by that because his ADP was up around the quarterback 7, if I'm not mistaken. But this is a week where you should be excited to play him. I think he's solid in tournaments. I think he's safe in cash. I don't think you need to pay up that high. But Derek Carr against a Tennessee defense that they're a really, really, really good run defense. I don't know if people realize how good they are that with their front seven. Over the last 2 years, I want to say that they're number two against the run in terms of fantasy points allowed. So if you think that Marshawn Lynch is going to light it up in his first game as a Raider, you're probably mistaken. Instead, shoot for Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. You know, we don't really know who the Titans are going to start at cornerback. If it's Adoree Jackson, if they're going to play him, he's a rookie, first round pick. They're expecting a lot out of him. But if they put him on the field against Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree, he's going to get eaten alive. And Logan Ryan is the other cornerback there, where he's coming over from New England. And granted, he was a solid corner there, but he wasn't asked to cover number one wide receivers. Exactly. He's not like a shadow cornerback that's going to derail things. So Derek Carr, there's honestly, outside of the obvious guys, there's nobody that's questionable that I would start over Derek Carr this week. I definitely like that call.
So where do you stand on Manning? I have him at 9, ECR at 13. Do you have him startable?
I have him at 13. And I like Eli this I want to say I like Eli this week, but the issue is that we don't know if Odell Beckham's going to play. If Odell Beckham doesn't play, I don't have much confidence in Eli, but
I'd probably move him to 16 if that was the case. So he's not starting on my team. I'd rather pick up Jared Goff, which I guess we'll get to in a little bit. Yikes. But
well, yeah, that's down the board. But Eli, I mean, Brandon Marshall has a little shoulder injury too, but it seems like he's going to be fine. Sterling Shepard is more than competent to play. Evan Ingram is actually a sleeper this week if you want to take a shot in a tournament. But Eli Manning is so streaky, it's tough for me to rely on him without seeing him first. This game is taking place in Dallas. It's indoors. It's a night game. He typically does well on a big stage. So I have him at 13 right now. But again, if Beckham does sit, then he's probably going to move right around to the QB 16 to QB 18 range.
So do you have anyone else tags that you think is a start this week that generally wouldn't be, or do you want to move on to the sits?
Just Tyrod Taylor. The Bills are the biggest favorite of the week. They're favored by 9.5 points, which is just kind of absurd to me. I don't understand how they're favored by that many points, but it is what it is. And Tyrod Taylor cleared concussion protocol. He's going to play. Jordan Matthews is actually going to play in week one, which helps his outlook. I do think that LeSean McCoy is like the play of the week, but at the same time, Tyrod Taylor's rushing totals will be at least safe. So again, if you're looking for someone to replace Andrew Luck, or if you have Phillip Rivers, or you know, someone like that, then you know, look for one of these guys to start for you.
Yeah, I had Taylor quite a bit further down. I've got to adjust that ranking now because we do know that he's going to play. I don't think Tyrod is necessarily a start for me right now. I'd probably prefer Bradford and Palmer, but I'll move Tyrod Taylor up to number 14. So if you are, you know, if you have him on your roster, feel free to start him. I don't think it's going to hurt. Now, two players that I am not starting, Cam Newton, ECR number 8. You know, a lot of people are really excited about Cam Newton this week against San Francisco. I mean, he was just the number one overall quarterback. He won the MVP just 2 years ago. He's still got his legs, although I don't think they're going to use him that much. But I am recommending that nobody starts Cam Newton this week. And the reason why, I mean, he's only thrown a couple passes here in the preseason. He's coming back from a pretty severe shoulder issue, partially torn rotator cuff. And typically that takes a full year in baseball to recover from. And Cam Newton's he's basically out there throwing fastballs with all his deep balls and everything that he's throwing. So I just can't see how he's going to perform at a high level with the passing game. And then they added Christian McCaffrey. They got Jonathan Stewart back from injury. So I don't see him running on the goal line as much as he used to. I just don't really see the upside here. I get it. It's a great matchup and everything, but it's not very safe to me. Ron Rivera came out just 2 days ago and said, I think he'll play. That's not really encouraging if he's your starting quarterback. So he could be a late scratch. He could be pulled out in the second quarter if everything doesn't seem right. I'm not playing that game. So I don't have Cam Newton rated very high. So Tags, where do you stand on Cam Newton?
Cam Newton it's interesting. And you talked about our producer, Clinton. I like to listen to people that are from an area that pay attention to the team extremely closely. And he was actually telling me that he thinks that people may be underestimating Newton this week just because the 49ers secondary is that bad, where their run defense may have been vastly improved with some of the additions that they made this offseason. So he was telling me to watch out, you know, in terms of the secondary, and Kelvin Benjamin, you know, should do pretty well. So I'm kind of listening to him there. You know, he's in that tier of quarterbacks, kind of like Kirk Cousins, Carson Palmer. He's right in there for me. It is a great matchup. You know, if you go back to last year, Cam Newton threw 4 touchdowns against this team. He had the second highest yardage total of the season against them. So he did really well, but yeah, there definitely is risk with sticking Newton in your lineup this week. If you have another viable option, I'd probably lean that way, but it's highly unlikely that you'd have someone higher than Newton. I mean, like if you drafted Newton and Carr, I would play Carr, but it's highly unlikely that someone who has Newton on their roster would have somebody else that I'd probably play over him, just because I think the matchup's too good to pass up.
The other player that I'm just not touching is Dak Prescott. I know his ECR is number 12 right now, but we talked about it on yesterday's show. Dak got eaten up by the Giants last year in two games. I know it's a small sample size, but this Giants defense is really good. Ezekiel Elliott hasn't been performing with the first team starters during the preseason, and they lost some offensive line pieces. I just think this could be really ugly. I'm just going to avoid it. I know he was really consistent last year, but there's just better options I like more.
Yeah, I agree with you on this one. Dak Prescott is someone I have down at number 15, so I'm not starting him with any confidence this week, and that's a rare thing for me with Dak, because I think that he's a lot more consistent than people understand. He was really, really good last year, and it is something that we talked about in the last show with the guys from Team Rankings, but the stat I wanted to get out there is that he played 15 games last year, right? And, well, 15 full games. I'm not counting week 7. That wasn't a full game. But of those 15 games, there were just three times where Dak Prescott did not score 17.5 fantasy points. And two of them came against the Giants. One game, I think it was 8 points. The other game, I think it was 10 points. He failed to throw a touchdown in either of the meetings. And it has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, the Giants are going to stick Janoris Jenkins on Dez Bryant and essentially try and remove him from the game. In the two games that these two teams played last year, Dez Bryant actually scored negative fantasy points. I know it sounds crazy. In the two games combined, he had two catches for 18 yards and he had a fumble. The fumble, if you count it as a negative two, he actually scored negative points in their two meetings. So it definitely helps that Ezekiel Elliott's in the field, because it adds another threat. But if Dak is going to succeed here, he's going to have to do it with his legs, or to go through the guys over the middle like Jason Witten or Cole Beasley. And that's a tough thing to do to move an offense. So Dak,
especially when Landon Collins is sitting back there at safety, he might be the best safety in the NFL.
Yeah,
they've got all the pass rush on their defensive line. I don't think people are appreciating just how good this Giants defense is.
That's where I'm at. You know, Eli can blow this game. For sure. That's something that I definitely overlooked when we were talking about this game, and the fact that I think the Giants should be favored. Eli can definitely blow the game if he's like bad Eli. That can happen. But Dak, personally, I think he's just a QB2 in this matchup.
So before we move on to running back, I just want to mention, if you lost Jameis Winston to the Hurricane, I mean, he didn't like die or anything, so that sounded weird. But if you need a quarterback, Jared Goff is sitting out there, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but, you know, he's going up against Indianapolis without Vontae Davis, and he's in Sean McVay's offense. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I think he's going to pile up the yards, probably throw a pick or two, maybe three, but he'll still get you, you know, 12, 15 points with some upside. So he's who I'd pick up. I mean, it's not like I'm going to go pick up Blake Bortles or something.
Well, I mean, right? You're not going to play Blake Bortles against Houston. But no, I think it's funny, Bobby. I wanted to chime in on that. You said that, you know, it's not like he passed away. You're like Jameis Winston, we were lost him to the Hurricane. Do you watch The Office, Bobby?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. There's an episode of The
Office. Well, what do you take me for? Some kind of like big
giant? I don't
know.
You've never seen Rounders, so I can't assume anything.
That's a good point.
But anyways, so there was an episode that it was on bed the other night. That's why I'm commenting on it, is that Andy Bernard came out of the office and said, guys, we lost Dwight. And he's just standing there and they're all freaking out. And basically he's like, we lost him to Florida. He's going to the Florida office. And they're like, wait a minute, so he's alive? It was like one of the funniest opening scenes. It was funny times. But as for Jared Goff, I mean, I'm not starting him with much confidence. If you're in a two quarterback league, sure. I think it's, if you're ever going to stick Jared Goff in your lineup, it's with, you know, this matchup against Vontae Davis-less Indianapolis Colts team. The Rams are at home. This is Sean McVay's offense that, you know, they have little tape on in terms of the talent that he has there with the Rams. So, you know, if you're ever going to take a shot on Jared Goff, I suppose this is the week.
I'm just saying, desperate situation. That's all. If you lost Jameis and there's no one else to pick up, he'll do the trick, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, if you're in a league where everybody grabs a backup quarterback and maybe some people have three quarterbacks, maybe you can snag Jared Goff.
All right, man. Running backs. And the number one guy I want to talk about here is Frank Gore. He's ECR number 31. I don't understand it. Aaron Donald is holding out. This Rams offense, I know they got Alec Ogletree. They have some pieces in their secondary, but it's not very good at stopping the run. And Frank Gore was a top 12 running back each of the last 2 years. The reason he wasn't drafted so high is because people think he might lose his job to Marlon Mack. But as for now, he's the starter and Andrew Luck's not the quarterback, so they have to run.
Well, it's a little bit misunderstood, the fact that he did finish as a top 12 running back the last 2 years, but if you look at his per game numbers, they weren't anything to like spectacular. He was like basically a low end RB2. And, you know, should he be there right now this week? I don't think so. And even without Aaron Donald there, because it seems like we're now at the point in the week where it's just too late for Donald to join the team and start on Sunday. I just don't see it happening. With that being said, Gore is not going to have any scoring chances. Like, that's my concern here, is that they're going to be on the road with Scott Tolzien as their starting quarterback. Frank Gore is not the kind of running back who's going to break a 40-yard touchdown. It's just not going to happen. He doesn't do that. Last year, I think there were just like four runs of 15 yards or more that he had. And then you see Marlon Mack in the preseason break like three runs that are that length in one game. So he eventually, you know, they need to move away from Frank Gore, but it's just such minimal upside. I think it's more of like a risk reward type thing, where there's been 10 games over the last 2 years where Frank Gore has played without Andrew Luck. And in those 10 games, he has scored just one touchdown. You know, we've seen him lose goal line work. Even if they do get down in the red zone, he's not even guaranteed to get those goal line carries, because Robert Turbin was so much better on the goal line last year that they said he's going to be involved. So for me, it's a risk reward type thing. And the Colts offense, I'm trying to avoid them if possible.
You give me 15 carries against the Los Angeles Rams, I am starting it every single day. I don't care who the running back is.
I mean, will he get to 15 carries? He probably should, but I think there's a legit possibility that he doesn't, just because the Rams are going to play a slow ball control style offense. They're going to want to win this game, and the way to do that is just literally just run the clock out, and they can do that against the Colts.
We'll see. I'm starting Frank Gore. So I guess you're not starting Frank Gore. Like, where do you have him ranked, in the 30s?
I have him ranked at number 32 right now. Okay. I mean, like, who could I confidently start him over? Like, the guys that I have behind him are like LeGarrette Blount, Duke Johnson, those guys. The guys I have right in front of him are guys like Danny Woodhead, even Joe Mixon I would play over him. And I don't like Mixon. I have Mixon at 29. It's just showing that I don't like him this week. He's
yeah,
a sit
me either.
For me, if possible. But I would start Eddie Lacy 100% over Frank Gore this week. And he's going against the Packers. And the Packers, you know, I think we should talk about Lacy for a minute, just because, you know, the narrative of going back to Green Bay and this and that. Like, we have those, you know, the narratives. But it's more so to do with the fact that Thomas Rawls and him were announced as co-starters. And then Thomas Rawls was named the starter. And I'm confused here, but now...
And Thomas Rawls is banged up.
Now he has a high ankle sprain, is what Pete Carroll leaked today. So he's probably not going to play, which means Eddie Lacy and CJ Procise, the two running backs, are going to be on the field.
CJ Procise is banged up too. It's Eddie Lacy and Chris Carson.
Well, Carson, he didn't even mention. That's the interesting thing. I think Carroll would have mentioned Carson if he was going to have a role.
Maybe. This game Pete Carroll plays games.
And that's the thing. This is the reason why I want Eddie Lacy over someone like Frank Gore. Because this game is over under a 51. It's the highest of the week. So, you know, playing for a Seattle offense or a Green Bay offense is much better than playing for a Scott Tolzien-led Colts offense. So when you're faced with a decision like that, I would definitely go with the guy in the higher scoring offense, because I think he has a better chance to score.
His ECR, by the way, is number 38. I've got him better than 38. I have him up at 34, but... It makes a lot of sense. I just don't think Thomas Rawls is probably going to play, or if he does, not get that many touches. And Green Bay is not a very good defense. So I guess if Eddie Lacy is getting the start, we've got to get him in there. Now, you mentioned Danny Woodhead earlier. He is someone I am absolutely not playing. I've actually got him all the way down at number 42. ECR Wow. has him at 33. But, you know, this is a 32-year-old coming off a torn ACL. He has a bum hammy right now, and just because Jordy Nelson came back from a torn ACL at the same age doesn't mean someone who relies on his speed like Danny Woodhead can. I mean, Nelson was a big red zone receiver. Danny Woodhead relies on that speed. He's got the hammy, like I said, so I'm just not sure. He's also going to a new offense where he hasn't worked with the quarterback for one single snap. Joe Flacco hasn't played once, and Danny Woodhead's trying to learn the offense without many reps. I just don't see him being all that involved this week.
That's the issue, right? I mean, if it was a different team where there was a whole lot of talent on it, I would say, yes, I think you're correct. I do have some, you know, I have some reserves about, you know, using him confidently, which is why he's down at 30 for me. But at the same time, this is a Ravens offense that don't really have anybody else to go to. Jeremy Macklin's in his first year with the team, so he had to learn a new role. He was missing some practice time recently. Him and Danny Woodhead both returned to practice. They're both full of participants. They're going to play. But Breshad Perriman, he's someone who's questionable for week one. Mike Wallace is not a possession style receiver that you're going to throw, you know, you're not going to throw eight times to him. They don't have a tight end. You're not going to throw to Ben Watson. So when you kind of go through the depth chart here and you say, where the hell are these targets going to go? And that's why Danny Woodhead deserves definite consideration as a flex play this week, even though he's been, you know, dealing with that. It was a soft tissue injury, if I'm not mistaken. So there's some risk with playing him, sure. But at the same time, the targets are going to be there. And the Bengals, who they're playing this week, are going to be without Vontaze Burfict for week one. They're without Adam Jones. So there's some holes in that defense. And I think Danny Woodhead, he'll catch enough passes to at least live up to that RB3 label.
Now, there's two other guys I'm definitely playing here. Paul Perkins, Adrian Peterson. Perkins is ECR number 32, and I don't get that because he was drafted a lot higher. And he's going to Dallas. I know Dallas had a pretty good run defense last year, but you know they've lost a lot of pieces. And Paul Perkins is going to get a ton of touches, so why would we not start him?
Yeah, David Irving, their best interior lineman for the Cowboys, is suspended for this week too. So there's definite problems with that Cowboys team. That's the thing is, like, I just don't understand it. And I know that's America's team, and that may play into it and the fact that people do bet the Cowboys, but I'm really just not understanding the love for the Cowboys this year. I don't. And I love Dak Prescott. I love Dez Bryant. But this defense, they let too many pieces go. They overplayed last year, and losing pieces is not going to help. Having people suspended is not going to help. So, yeah, I mean, the fact, here's the thing. With Ezekiel Elliott playing, it lowers Perkins for me a little bit, because if Zeke wasn't playing, I figured the play count was going to be a lot higher for the Giants. I figured that there was no way that the Cowboys were going to be able to play like a ball control style offense that they're going to play with Zeke. So it lowers his ceiling a little bit. But the guys that I'm looking at with Perkins, I have Perkins at 25 right now. The guys that I would consider starting over him, and they're like right behind him, are like Jonathan Stewart against the 49ers, which he should receive some of the goal line carries, especially if Newton is
ailing. I'm definitely
ailing.
Starting Stewart. I've got him number 20.
What about Robert Kelly against Philly?
No, not interested in Robert Kelly. Philly has the best front seven of any defense in football, probably.
They're definitely a good front seven. No, but the thing is, it's also a guy that's playing for his job. I mean, you talked about Adrian Peterson. I'm playing Peterson this week.
A guy playing for his job who's really not very good. Like, maybe a fringe NFL player.
Oh, you
not a fringe starter, a fringe NFL player.
For sure. And you know that I'm not a Kelly fan. You know that. You know, I think that P. Ryan is going to take this job by week six. I believe that. But I think something can be said for a guy that's playing for his job. And it is a divisional game. It's Philly, the front seven. Yeah, there's questions, which is why he's down at 27, right? Otherwise, I'd have a starting running back up a lot higher than that. But the name that you mentioned is Adrian Peterson, who I have up at number 22. And I kind of want to move him higher. I'm not even going to lie here, because I mean, this is, I hate to go down narrative street sometimes, but when you're talking about a player of the magnitude of Adrian Peterson, probably one of the best goal line backs of all time, like he's a hammer on the goal line and he's playing on the best offense that he's ever played on. They're playing inside of a dome that he's very familiar with. You know, he's played in Minnesota. That's where he's from. And the fact that Sean Payton was removing Mark Ingram from the game for Tim Hightower tells me he's going to do that for Adrian Peterson. And if he could do this and kind of stick it to his old team a little bit, I think Sean Payton will give him that opportunity. And I mean, do you mean to tell me that the Saints offense isn't going to score, you know, two, at least three touchdowns this game?
I don't know, man. Minnesota's defense is really good, but I'd say, yeah, probably. I'd say they score two touchdowns with a chance at three.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, if you're going to do that, I mean, I want to bet on Adrian Peterson to score a touchdown.
Me
so
too.
I'd probably play him over the guys like Jonathan Stewart and Paul Perkins, but it's close. It's close. I mean, they're all in that same conversation, but I have Peterson as a low-end RB2 in standard leagues.
I'm starting all three of them. I'm wondering who the guys are that we're missing on. I guess I have Mark Ingram lower than Adrian Peterson. I'm not starting Mark Ingram because I just think Adrian Peterson's better. I think he gets the goal line work, and that's a pretty big deal. I think he gets a lot more first and second down carries. PPR league, I'll start Ingram all day, but this week against Minnesota, I'm not too interested. Somebody else I'm not starting here that other people are, Tevin Coleman. I think the Bears' run defense is actually severely underrated. I think Jarrell Freeman is one of the best run-defending linebackers in football, and a lot of people don't realize that. But Tevin Coleman also, I mean, he loses Kyle Shanahan. He's not going to get the touchdowns he did last year. And then Robert Kelly, who we talked about. So those are the guys I'm avoiding. Theo Riddick, I'm not starting against the Cardinals, but I don't think most people are. One other name I want to toss out there, Terrence West, definitely starting him. A lot of it's because of what I said about Danny Woodhead, but you know, he's in Greg Roman's offense, which is a downhill between the tackles offense. It fits Terrence West. West is in the best shape of his career, lost 12 pounds, and I don't think he's very good, but I think he's going to get quite a few carries. Like you said, Burfict is out. So I like West. I have him all the way up at 21 this week.
Okay, so one player I've been getting questions about, and I mean, to me, I'm playing him. It's Mike Gillisley. A lot of people ask me questions about Patriots running backs, and I know this game is taking place tomorrow night, so you need to make your decisions soon.
Yeah.
Would you play Mike Gillisley over someone like Adrian Peterson?
No.
Like a Leonard Fournette?
No. Oh, definitely not over Leonard Fournette. I mean, Fournette might not end up playing. We'll see. I think that he will, but Mike Gillisley, I have him at number 28. ECR has him at 22. And everyone knows I'm a big Mike Gillisley guy. I just don't think, based on what Belichick has said, and I know Belichick plays his games, but based on what he said, Gillisley's not ready. He still has a lot more work to do. I don't think that sounds like someone who's going to get the bulk of the work. I'm sure he's still going to get plenty of touches. He'll probably get the goal line touches because that's what Gillisley does extremely well. But, you know, they're also going up against Kansas City, who has a very good interior defense. They have a really good all-around defense. So I've got Gillisley 28 this week. I'd prefer Perkins, Abdullah, Adrian Peterson, Terrence West to him.
I think that Gillisley is an RB2 this week. And okay. I think he's going to score a touchdown. That's what I'm banking on with Gillisley. And I say this, you know, while a lot of people are saying, oh, he's not ready. And, you know, Belichick said he didn't get the reps. And Rex Burkhead has missed practice more recent than Mike Gillisley has. So,
and you don't really need reps to go out there and pound the ball into the end zone on the goal line.
That's exactly.
And there's
my
a lot
point.
Of touchdowns to be had in this shootout game.
Uh huh. And that's what I'm saying. So the Patriots. I talked about this morning on John Hansen's SiriusXM show, and I said that, you know, when they signed Rex Burkhead, he was kind of like an all around back. That's when LeGarrette Blount was still like, I guess, an option for the team.
Yeah.
They signed him. He plays special teams. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a movable chess piece, which is what Bill Belichick likes to add. When you go out and you reach for someone that wasn't even a free agent, he was a restricted free agent, and you grab him from the Buffalo Bills knowing that they're not going to be able to match the salary, what do you bring Mike Gillisley in for if you're not going to use this guy? And you're going to pay a salary, and you're going to give up a draft pick for him. Why? What are we talking about here? We're talking about a guy you want to put into the game when you're on the goal line. You do that with guys. That's what you go out and you get guys like this for. He does not need reps to do that. He doesn't need reps to break tackles. He's more fresh than he probably should be. So for me, betting on Mike Gillisley is one of the better things you could do when you're looking at guys like, I'd play him over Marshawn Lynch this week. And I know people don't want to hear that, but Marshawn Lynch's matchup with Tennessee is brutal. So I will bank on Mike Gillisley scoring a touchdown more than I will Marshawn Lynch. So again, if I understand that he comes with a little bit of risk, but when you're talking about players in this range, a lot of them have bad matchups or they come with risk themselves of like a timeshare. So Mike Gillisley, I think he's a strong RB2 because I do think he scores this week.
All right, well, we're going to move on to wide receivers, but first, a word from the sponsor of today's show, TeamRankings.com. We had them on yesterday. It was a lot of fun to talk about all these survivor pools, pick'em pools, and all the theory that goes behind that. If you haven't seen their site, I absolutely love it. I've been using it for years. Over 200,000 pages of all kinds of free stats, rankings, and projections for you to check out and play around with. But I also want to tell you about their premium services today. They give out top-notch advice for office pools and sports betting. Since 2005, they built data-driven projection models for NFL, college football, and other sports, and thousands of hours researching strategy for sports pools like NFL Pick'em and Survivor contests, as I mentioned. So please check out their site, see what they have for you, and they've got a great offer for you with their premium tools. Just go to teamrankings.com/fantasypros to save up to 10% on NFL Survivor and Pick'em pools and up to 60% on annual subscriptions for all their advice. But don't wait because prices go up again this Friday. Again, that's teamrankings.com/fantasypros. Okay, Tag, so let's move on over to wide receiver. Where do you want to start us here, man?
Oh, all right. So since this is our first show doing the whole sit start together, I wanted to ask you a question about the whole sit your studs thing. You know, like there's some people that are totally against it. They're like, if you have studs, you play them every single week and you deal with it if they have a bad week.
How do you define stud? Like Sammy Watkins?
No, like guys like Dez Bryant, like Alshon Jeffrey, like those are considered, you know, they were drafted as top 15 options. So people, I guess, would consider them the studs in their lineup. Are you of the mindset where you need to play those guys every week or do you play, you know, do you try and play the matchup?
I definitely play the matchup. I cannot see any circumstance in which Dez Bryant is not a top 36 wide receiver. I mean, that would be a wide receiver 3. And then we've got flex play too. So we're talking top 42, 44. I've got him ranked number 19 right now, which is 9 spots lower than ECR. I'm guessing you have him a little bit lower since you're asking the question. And then Alshon, I mean, I've got him all the way up at 9, even though his ECR is number 18. So I've got them flipped. I'm a huge believer in Alshon this week, using him all over DFS, and we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Wow, that's insane. I need to hear about this Alshon take because I have Alshon down at 25. Like okay. I honestly, he's one of those guys that I would probably not want to play. I'd probably play Jeremy Maclin over Alshon Jeffrey this week. And Dez Bryant, I have at 17. I can only lower Dez Bryant so much because I know that he offers that touchdown potential anytime he's thrown the ball. Like I call Dez Bryant. He's a bully on the goal line. Like he will bully you and he will push you around and he will score if they get down in the red
zone.
Like
Michael Crabtree. Yeah.
He's a lot better than Michael
Crabtree. I wasn't trying to make a joke, but after I said it, I was like, Tags is going to think that's funny.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to happen. But Alshon Jeffery is someone that I'm really curious about this take, because Josh Norman is the player he's going to be going up against. And the Redskins have already said they're going to use him to shadow Alshon Jeffery. So
that's
let's
rough.
Hear it, Bobby. I need to hear a case.
Yeah, Josh Norman wasn't as good last year. And I know a lot of that was because, they weren't using him the right way at the start of the season. He's also a step slower this year than he was last year. You can say that about anyone. You can make that case. But Alshon Jeffery, this is what it comes down to. If you've been watching the preseason games, Carson Wentz has been force-feeding the ball to Alshon Jeffery. I just think this is going to be a beautiful thing. There's a train in the background, by the way, for those of you listening. It always comes when I'm recording the podcast, like once a day, and it just happens to come right as I'm making a hot take or something like that. But, you know, the Washington defense, sure, they've got Josh Norman, but they were also a very bad pass defense this year. So I think that they find a way to get Alshon the ball, and even if he's not open, Carson Wentz is going to throw it to him. That's what we've seen every single preseason game, so I just think it happens.
I see this as a lower scoring game of the week, like where it's a divisional battle. There's some new pieces here, yeah, but Josh Norman is back at home shadowing. Like, he's not good just sticking to one side of the field. Well, I shouldn't say that. He's not as good sticking to one side of the field. This is a guy that needs to work on that confidence. Alshon Jeffery is not a guy that can win one-on-one matchups unless you throw the ball up. Like, he's a guy that will win jump balls for sure, but Josh Norman, he will get inside Alshon's head. Like, this is a stat I have for you, Bobby. Ever since Marshall left to go to the Jets, Alshon Jeffery went from scoring a touchdown every 17 targets to scoring one every 26 targets. He really struggled when he was asked to be the number one wide receiver on the team for the Bears. That's why the Bears, when Marshall went, I worried about Alshon, the fact that, you know, he had never had to see those top tier cornerbacks like Josh Norman. If you looked at that, a touchdown every 26 targets, that would have ranked as the number 95 wide receiver last year. Yes. And Josh
Norman
is
like Amari Cooper territory.
Yeah, and I was doing some work actually earlier today on my wide receiver cornerback matchup article that I'm going to be doing, letting you guys know the best and the worst cornerback matchups of the week. Josh Norman has allowed just 7 touchdowns in his coverage on 254 targets over the last 3 years. Like, he just doesn't allow touchdowns. And I know Scott Barrett does really good work with charts. He does a lot of work with charts on Twitter. And he posted something in regards to Alshon and how Alshon succeeds at the routes that Josh Norman fails. And the sample size is so small that I'm not really buying into that narrative. For me, if you have a decision to play someone who's proven over Alshon Jeffery this week, I probably would do that. Now, it's not likely that you feel great about whoever you'd put in there, so you're likely stuck with Alshon.
Yeah,
but that's why I brought up the question, is like, do you start your studs? Because this is one of those situations where if you walk away from this game and Alshon Jeffery has 5 catches for 70 yards, consider yourself lucky.
Okay, we'll see about that. I'm not as big of a believer in Josh Norman, apparently, as you are. I know that those stats are pretty intimidating, but you know, Alshon Jeffery, the reason his draft stock was so low is because he's injury prone. He's not injured right now. I think Alshon Jeffery, and we've seen him, 1,456 yards just a few years ago. I know that was with Jay Cutler, but Carson Wentz, he can throw the ball too, and he's going to throw it in there to Alshon Jeffery. So I'm holding my ground there. A couple other guys I have quite a bit higher. Eric Decker, I've got him all the way up at 14. Same kind of thing. When he's healthy, he's a top 20 wide receiver. He goes against Oakland's horrible secondary. So I've got him quite a bit higher. And then obviously Kevin White, you know, going up against Atlanta. I know their secondary was better last year, but 45 is way too low for the number one wide receiver on a team who's going to be playing catch up all week.
This Decker take, man, this is fire. This is straight fire. I have Decker at 36, so I'm obviously a lot lower than you are on Decker. I'm concerned about, I think Oakland can be beat.
Corey Davis is going to be used sparingly.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think him and Decker could be.
The coach came out and said that.
Well, that's the thing. He said he's going to be out there, but I also think that Eric Decker is going to be slow on too. I think both Corey Davis and Eric Decker are going to be overrated this week. And I say that because they haven't had much time to work with Marcus Mariota this offseason. You know, that they've both been nursing some injuries. Whereas Rishard Matthews is a guy who built some chemistry with him. Delanie Walker, arguably the Raiders where you beat them, is down the seam and deep. And who fits those roles? Not Eric Decker. It's guys like Delanie Walker and Rishard Matthews. So I think those two are the better plays. Eric Decker, yes, he's been really good on the field. But again, this is a guy that's coming off a couple injuries. He's had limited time to work in this offense.
Severe injuries.
Missed practice time. Yeah. And so, I mean, if you want to talk about Decker versus T.Y. Hilton, I could see you making a case there. But moving him up inside the 20s to play him over guys like maybe Jeremy Maclin, Devontae Adams, Golden Tate, that's where I'd have like an issue with that. But one player I want to ask,
where do you have T.Y. Hilton and where do you have Kevin White?
I have T.Y. Hilton at 31.
Okay, me too, 31.
He's far down my list. I don't like him this week. I want to find an excuse not to play him. Kevin White I have at 37.
I mean, Trumaine Johnson is a good lockdown defender.
I don't think
he doesn't get enough credit.
I don't even know if Trumaine Johnson is going to shadow him. I actually think that if I'm the Rams, I don't do that. I actually put Trumaine Johnson on Dante Moncrief because he's a bigger, more physical cornerback, and you could kind of work with T.Y. Hilton and bracket him with a safety and a corner, and you'll be fine because Scott Tolzien can't throw deep, so... I want to see what the Colts do.
Too bad they don't have Stephen Morris.
Too bad they don't have Stephen Morris. They do have Jacoby Brissett on the bench. Maybe they bench Tolzien mid-game and put him in. Maybe. Kevin White, I have at 37. I think he's borderline starter material in 12-team leagues. Okay. I just like that because the Bears, the game script should work out for him perfectly. Atlanta should win that game and big. So Kevin White, the game script should fit him nicely. One player I wanted to ask you about, Bob, because I know you're a fan. You can't dismiss the fact that Keenan Allen has a tough matchup with Chris Harris Jr.
It's a horrible matchup.
Denver,
yeah.
Like Denver, you just don't mess with Denver. Like they're a team. They didn't allow a wide receiver to record more than 91 yards last year. I think there was just like two receivers that topped, like, I think it was 77 yards or something like that. It was something ridiculous. Chris Harris Jr. is the best slot cornerback in the game. Aqib Talib, even if they move him outside, it's going to be tough for Keenan Allen to do much. Like, where do you have Keenan Allen this week?
I've got him at 24. ECR is at 26.
Yeah, I have 27, so we're all in that same territory.
Yeah, and I love Keenan Allen, but that matchup is just, you've got to start him, but it really sucks.
Yeah, I have a stat for you on that one. Chris Harris Jr., it is ridiculous. Of cornerbacks who saw at least 60 targets in coverage last year, he allowed the lowest yards per target. He allowed just 4.75 yards per target last year.
That's incredible.
That's stupid. Like, that's like if a wide receiver gets 12 targets against him. Yeah, if they get 12 targets against him, they're basically getting 50 yards. That's ridiculous.
So another guy I have quite a bit lower, DeAndre Hopkins. He's either going to have A.J. Boye or Jalen Ramsey. And Jalen Ramsey's dealing with a core injury that he's coming back from in surgery, but he is extremely good. It doesn't matter which of these two is on him. DeAndre Hopkins is toast this week.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where you have to question the studs for scrubs.
I've got him at 30, so he's still startable. ECR has him at 13. I don't understand that. There's got to be some movement there.
I have him at 20. I'm in between there because I do think he'll be peppered with targets. The only reason I didn't move him lower is just because of that whole thing with the core muscle. I don't know if Jacksonville just says, you know what, Jalen, we're not going to ask you to shadow. We're going to stick sides. And A.J. Boye is a guy who can stick in, like you could play, and he's going to be fine against DeAndre Hopkins. Why? This is a guy that literally played against him in practice last year. A.J. Boye was his teammate last year. So if there's anybody that knows Hopkins, it's Boye. It's a matchup nightmare. And that's why like,
Boye
Houston,
is the top three cornerback in the NFL, right?
I don't know if I would say top three, but like, because it's such a limited sample size. Like last year, he was playing like a top five cornerback last year. Like, but it's still 1 year, and I want to see it again. But they're not even asking him necessarily to be a top five corner. They're just asking him to cover wide receiver twos most of the time because Jalen Ramsey is legitimately going to be a shutdown cornerback. He's very physical too, and DeAndre Hopkins he's a technician, right? Like he needs room to operate, and if Ramsey is even close to 100%, he won't give him room to operate. Hopkins last year against Jalen Ramsey in the two games, Hopkins saw 30 targets in the two games, like 30 targets on those 30 targets, he finished with 131 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah. Yep. You're exactly right. And Boye shut down Allen Robinson in those games as well. Just completely roasted him in week 15.
Yeah. I'd rather play Allen Robinson than DeAndre Hopkins this week, by the way.
Yeah, I would as well. So let's move on further down the list. We're looking at ranges, 30 to 45. These are the really questionable players. So give us a few takes here, Tags.
All right, one player that you can start if you're looking for just like a little boost to your lineup, like let's say you're missing Mike Evans and you're scrambling. Ted Ginn, solid play. It's like one play can make your week with him. Minnesota's not the greatest matchup, but at the same time, it takes one play. It's a new, people can't scheme for Ted Ginn in New Orleans. Nobody really knows how they're going to use him there because he's an interesting chess piece that Drew Brees has never really had. I talked about Rishard Matthews. I'm just going to full disclosure here. I didn't like Rishard Matthews this season. Like I told people to draft him outside the top 55 wide receivers. I think he's the number three there, like clearly. But this week, with like I said, with Decker and Davis missing a lot of time, Oakland can be beat deep. Their safety is the biggest struggle of that team. They get beat down the seam. We saw Jason Witten destroy them in the preseason on just six targets. He finished with like 70 something yards and a touchdown. So Rishard Matthews, if you're in a pinch, you could play him. But if
I
you
have
want
him 31, where do you have him? I have him as a clear cut wide receiver three.
Well, I have him at number 40, but I'm tempted to move him up, but that would require me to move Decker down. And yeah. I already have Decker at 36. That's my concern, right?
I like them both. Like them both. Oakland's pass defense is not good. ECR has Matthews at 36. So you're actually behind the curve here, Tags.
And wow, that's crazy. I need to move him up then, apparently, because I need to be above that because I'm actually higher than I usually would be. But one player, I promise you, he's on all of your waiver wires that you can go out and feel semi-confident starting him. That is Paul Richardson, guys.
Yep. Got him at 39, man. I am with you on this one, baby.
Yeah. I don't know how he's still under own. He's like, this is like one of those situations where I could see it playing out right now where it's like, if this guy goes and gets 70 yards and a touchdown, people are going to be running to the waiver wire to pick him up, where you could be doing that right now. Like, as we speak, don't wait till that happens.
Yeah, do it. He's playing Green Bay. This is the time to start him.
Yeah, the Packers were so desperate at cornerback. They went out inside Devon House, and this is a guy that was benched in Jacksonville last year. Like, he was benched, and now he's a starting cornerback for Green Bay. Green Bay last year allowed almost 2 PPR points per target to wide receivers, which was the highest in the NFL. It wasn't even really that close. And they allowed 26 touchdowns to wide receivers alone last year. The next closest team allowed 21 touchdowns. So it just goes to show, this team has a massive total over under. It's at 51. So you want parts of this game. Don't worry about last year.
He's
what happened.
75-80% of snaps. He'll be on the field.
And if he's on the field for 2 wide receiver sets, which is what we're supposed to believe right now, because that's how they're practicing with him, he's going to be like a wide receiver 3 in fantasy. And he's unowned. And I think it's like, I want to say the last time I looked, he was like 6% owned in Yahoo leagues. He needs to be a lot higher owned.
Yeah, I've got Teddy Ginn, number 42. You mentioned him, so he could be startable in the flex. He's right on the fringe for me. Two guys that aren't on the fringe, I'm starting Robbie Anderson and Zay Jones everywhere. I mean, I know this is the toilet bowl. It's basically a college football game, but you know, someone has to score in these games. Anderson's the clear-cut number one. I know you said Matthews is going to play, but who knows what percentage he'll be at. Tyrod is healthy this week. Well, he's not healthy, but he's playing. So I think Zay Jones is the guy to own in this Buffalo offense. You know, obviously LeSean McCoy as well, but Zay Jones in the air, and I'm starting both those guys.
Nice. The Zay Jones one's interesting, right? Because we heard that Jordan Matthews and Andre Holmes were going to be the wide receivers in two wide receiver sets, and the Bills did not run. I want to say they were one of the lower percentages in the league for 3 wide receiver sets. So
Rex
this
Ryan.
Does and this does, yeah, that's also the case too. It's a brand new offense, but yet it's still a defensive-minded coach. This is one of the games. The reason I'm scared to play Zay, it has nothing to do with the matchup, because it's a pristine matchup against the Jets. But my concern here is that the Bills are not going to win very many games this year. This is Sean McDermott's first game as a coach. I think he wants to walk away with a win. I think they run the ball a ton. I'd be shocked if Tyrod Taylor threw the ball 30 times. I don't think that happens. I think they run the ball over and over and over again. And because of that, Zay Jones won't be on the field very much. It's his first NFL game, obviously. So I approach with caution there. I have him in the range of guys like Corey Davis, Dante Moncrief.
Okay. Now, who else are you going with here?
It gets really dicey around here. You know, like I said, Paul Richardson, someone who is available on most waiver wires. But if for some reason he's owned, you can, let me see. Terrence Williams is not the worst play. And I know that nobody wants to play Terrence Williams. I get that. But
he's a touchdown or bust. He's like one of these tight end guys.
Yeah. And if you're looking at the Cowboys and saying, okay, well, if they're going to score some points, where are they going to do it? You know, Dez Bryant, tough matchup. Again, can he score? Absolutely he can. But Cole Beasley is not a touchdown guy. I want to say he scored 4 touchdowns the entire season. Jason Witten, again, another guy. I think he scored 3 touchdowns last season. Ezekiel Elliott, he did score 1 rushing touchdown against the Giants last year. But again, if we're looking for points, Terrence Williams is the starting wide receiver in 2 wide receiver sets, and he will not see Janoris Jenkins. So he's an interesting shot if you're looking like a desperation option. Either that, and one more I would say is Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright against Atlanta. And again,
really,
we talked
you've
about
got
Kevin
him that
White.
High.
I have him at 55. I mean, it's not
okay.
I
mean,
he's
at 60.
Yeah, he's a little out of that range, but I'm looking at guys that are potentially on waiver wires, and Kendall Wright is someone who could be on a waiver wire. In the game script, again, it plays into the wide receivers here. So between him and Kevin White, would it shock you, Bobby, though, if Kendall Wright actually finished with as many targets as Kevin White in week one?
Yeah, it would shock me. I mean, I don't know. Shock is the wrong word. It would surprise me by quite a bit. Kendall Wright is a solid play in deeper leagues. ECR number 51. So again, you're actually behind the curve on a guy that you like. That's interesting to me. The one guy I want to mention that's available everywhere, Paul Richardson, you stole my thunder there. Big time. Go pick him up. I've got him number 39, ECR number 57. And then Chris Conley. We know this is going to be a shootout. Kansas City's going to be playing from behind. And Tyreek Hill is the type of player Belichick schemes to shut down. So there's Chris Conley. He's starting. And they're going to be passing the ball a lot. And, you know, he looked pretty good in the preseason. He's a superb athlete. I'd rather have him starting than a Mike Wallace, a Chris Hogan, who I'm not even sure he's going to, you know, get more looks than a Malcolm Mitchell or Danny Amendola. I'd rather have him than Corey Coleman, Dante Moncrief without Andrew Luck. So I'm not saying I'm starting Chris Conley, but if you're in a pinch and you need someone, and for whatever reason Paul Richardson's gone, maybe you're playing in a league with tags, go ahead and pick up Chris Conley. I think you can start him this week, and maybe you hit a home run here.
Chris Conley, you are latching onto that, man. I would definitely start Chris Hogan over him, but I could appreciate your boldness here. You're sticking with Conley, and you know,
he's my boy.
I talked about it in my article. The primer that I put out this morning is that Conley is an interesting tournament play, right? Because if Tyreek Hill is going to be kind of essentially taken out of the game, how Belichick does with the opponent's top options, where are they going to go? Obviously, they have Travis Kelce, and I'm sure that Belichick is game planning something with him, but Conley's interesting. I just worry that Alex Smith's skill set, it doesn't match what Chris Conley does, so that's my only concern there.
Yeah. Okay, Tags, let's move on over to tight end, and I don't really have too many interesting rankings here. I've got Austin Hooper startable this week against Chicago. I just think, you know, they bring in a coach who loves to use the tight end. Austin Hooper's the only tight end there. He was really efficient last year. And this is a matchup where I think they're going to put up quite a few points against Chicago. So, you know, the other guys, Eric Ebron, banged up. Hunter Henry at Denver. Kobe Fleener at Minnesota, which is the toughest. So I'm not starting any of those guys. Jack Doyle without Andrew Luck. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to reach and start Charles Clay? Are you going to start one of these guys in the horrid matchups? Are you going to start a rookie running back making their debut? No, for me, it's Austin Hooper at number 12 and Jason Witten number 11. I don't think a lot of people are going to be starting him, but at the face of the Giants, I think that's a good matchup too.
So you mentioned a player that I think, like, I'm just going to start here because it's like the furthest down my list, but it's an interesting play. If you're looking for a streaming tight end this week, and like for DFS, I think it's more prominent, and we'll talk about it on our show tomorrow. But Charles Clay against the Jets, it's very interesting to me. I mentioned that Tyrod Taylor will probably only throw the ball, you know, maybe 28 times this week, but at the same time, him and Charles Clay established a connection over the final three games they played together.
Yeah.
Like Charles Clay was the number one fantasy tight end. Or it might've been Kelce. He was number one or number two over like the final 3 weeks that he played. It was weeks 14, 15, and 16. I think he scored 4 touchdowns in that time frame. He helped me win a fantasy championship in one of those lineups because Tyler Eifert was out. But the Jets are a team that over the final 5 games of 2016, they allowed 7 touchdowns to tight ends. So Charles Clay is a very, very interesting play. I think Evan Engram is also someone that you could look at. I know it's his first NFL game, but the fact that the Giants are ailing at wide receiver between Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
And they just traded away Will Tye or gave him away, whatever they did. you know, Evan Engram is the starting tight end and Eli Manning tends to favor his tight ends. I think my hot take of the week, though, is that I would start Antonio Gates over Hunter Henry. I know that in the ECR, that's considered a hot take. But against Denver, this is a team that does really, really good against wide receivers. They actually struggle a little bit with tight ends. So, you know, when you get down in the red zone, do I envision Phillip Rivers to throw one or two touchdowns? Yeah, I think 2 touchdowns is tops, but he's going to throw at least one. And Antonio Gates is his favorite. Like, that's his favorite area right there. This is a game that's on primetime TV. It's the Monday night game, the second game on Monday night. Antonio Gates, I could just see them getting this out of the way so it's not talked about every single week. Antonio Gates, I have ranked at number 12. How do you feel about Gates over Henry?
I've got Gates at number 20. His ECR is number 20. I've got Henry at 14. His ECR is 11. So I'm closer on Henry than most people are with Henry and Gates, but that's pretty bold, man. I think that's about as bold as Chris Conley.
Well, I have Gates at 12 and I have Henry at 15. So I don't think that Henry's like a bad play necessarily. Yeah. But one player I wanted to bring up, Bobby, and get your thoughts on is, and this is another player I did not like in the draft process. I didn't tell people to draft him, but it's an interesting week one play. And that's CJ Fedorowicz.
Ooh, I don't know if he's going to play, man. He's dealing with a pretty bad injury.
Fedorowicz?
Yeah, he's got a
Dealing with a quad injury, but I thought he was ready. If he's not ready, then I'm wrong. But I didn't see anything in regards to him like highly questionable. But if he does play and they say that he's okay, I should probably look at practice reports because it may have been an oversight on my part. But Fedorowicz, this team outside of Hopkins, they are missing players on offense. Like they don't have Will Fuller. Jalen Strong is suspended for the first week, so you're looking at him throwing to guys like Braxton Miller, to Bruce Ellington. Yeah, this might be a week where he needs to target tight ends. So if CJ Fedorowicz is out, then you may even want to look to someone like Steven Anderson or Ryan Griffin, because the targets need to go somewhere. And a tight end,
it's not as doubtful as I thought it was. So you're right. He's definitely in play.
Yeah, at tight end, what I search for at tight end, it's a very volatile position. What happens is, like, usually if you score a touchdown, it's going to finish top 12. That's the issue with tight end, right? But for me, I'm looking for targets, and Fedorowicz should get him. Another player that I'm looking at is Jason Witten. Jason Witten, I dropped Jack Doyle in a league to grab Witten just because I'm worried. Doyle without luck is not a place I want to be.
Nope.
So Jason Witten against the Giants in the last, I want to say the last five times they've played, he's played wonderful against them. Like, it's one of his best matchups. I think Witten is the guy I have highest that's questionable of everybody, though.
So, Tags, I don't think anyone's going to question Delanie Walker, Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, right. Martellus Bennett face Seattle, who always struggles against tight ends, or Zach Ertz, Kyle Rudolph. So do you have Jason Witten and Austin Hooper starting? Where are you on Eric Ebron?
I have Witten at number 11, he's definitely a starter for me. Austin Hooper and Ebron, so Hooper, I'm in wait and see mode. I can understand the want to play him because I think there's true potential here that's like untapped, and Matt Ryan should throw three touchdowns against the Bears. So there's definite potential there. But I would prefer the wait and see approach because we really don't know how the offense is going to play into the tight end position. As for Eric Ebron, his matchup is just brutal. Playing against the Cardinals, they are one of the better teams in the NFL against tight ends. And they have been with Bruce Arians. So I'm trying to wait and see on the guys that, you know, were questionable. Eric Ebron, while I like him, I think that he was underrated in drafts. This week, I can't get behind him over options, you know, like Antonio Gates, like Fedorowicz, like Jason Witten. But the player of the week, calling this now, Bobby, everybody's going to come back next week and they're going to be like, wow, Tags, who's the guy this week? Because I'm that confident about this. Zach Ertz, if you have him, play him like 100%, hands down. Like, don't question it, just do it. Like, that's, I have him as my number 5 tight end.
Okay,
I'm thinking about moving him up to number 4. So,
whoa, interesting.
Yeah, love him.
Okay, Tags, before we close out here, let's go real quick on defenses. I've got two interesting takes. The Vikings and the Seahawks, I am not starting them. I've got them 13 and 14 face New Orleans and at Green Bay. And the ones that I'm starting that are a little out of the ordinary here, Los Angeles Chargers at Denver. I just think Trevor Siemian is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. They've got Joey Bosa and they've got Ingram, two of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And then Cincinnati face Baltimore. Cincinnati playing at home against Joe Flacco, who hasn't worked with the team at all. Terrence West is their running back. Not all that great. I know I hyped him up a little bit earlier, but just because of the touches he's going to get. Then you talked about, you know, Jeremy Maclin, Danny Woodhead dealing with some injuries. So I think that Baltimore is an easy team to pick on this week. I don't think a lot of people are realizing it. So I've moved them up from 15 ECR to number 11.
The Ravens?
The Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals. The Bengals defense, they're just missing too many parts for me to like them very much this week. Like I said, they're going to miss Vontaze Burfict. Adam Jones is out on suspension. So I'm concerned there. But I think that I don't think you need to go there. I think you can go to the Jaguars. The Jaguars defense, I have at number 5. And they're unowned in a lot of leagues. Yeah, I drafted them in a lot of leagues, but honestly, they went undrafted in a lot of leagues that I know of, that like my friends have been in. I'm like, so like, who do I pick up for week one? I'm like, the Jaguars are available, grab them, because they're going against Houston, and Tom Savage, we know, he has still yet to throw a touchdown in the NFL. He's going to be missing his best offensive lineman, left tackle Dwayne Brown, has still not reported to the team. He said he was going to be playing week one, but they started practice and he's not there. So it's difficult for me to see a left tackle playing when he hasn't been with the team. It's now you know, we're now coming up on Thursday. I just don't see it happening. And we already talked about the options that they're missing on offense. Houston with Will Fuller, Fedorowicz, maybe Ayling, Jalen Strong out. There's just so many people missing from this team that the Jaguars defense with Calais Campbell, with AJ Boye, Barry Church, you know, in the safety position, I don't know if they're going to start him right away, but it's a fantastic play. I love the Jaguars defense.
Yeah, man.
But outside of them, somebody on the waiver wire, I mean, I'm sure people have grabbed the Bills already because they're playing the Jets.
Yeah, I've got the Bills at number 12 as well. ECR has them at 10.
Yeah. The Jaguars are the team that I would probably wind up in almost every league.
Steelers as well at Cleveland. They're available in some leagues. Anyway, that's all we have for today's show. Tags, it was a lot of fun, man. Looking forward to seeing whose rankings do better because we grade all the experts' rankings from week to week. And it's going to lock tomorrow night. So can't wait to see how it turns out, man. Good luck.
This is going to be like the worst thing ever if Chris Conley like goes off and Bobby's going to come on the show and just rag on me about it. I can hear it now, guys. Just yeah. So you know, I'm waiting
for this to happen. Expect it. And, you know, I've got Keelan Cole an extra 30 spots above everyone else, too. So I'm pretty pumped about that one. I didn't even bring up Keelan Cole because, like, unless you're in a 20-team league with five starting wide receivers, like, you've probably never heard of him. He's not going to start in any fantasy leagues, but he's the Stephon Diggs of this year.
Hold on, wait. We didn't even bring this up. Like, before we end the show, should we just mention that Allen Hurns is not a starter anymore?
Yeah, Allen Hurns should be dropped in every single league. He's the number five wide receiver for Blake Bortles' team. So, yeah, cut him loose.
Yeah, Day-Day Westbrook is an interesting ad. If Westbrook, like, if what he did in the preseason is, like, the real deal, like, Day-Day Westbrook looked really, really freaking good in the preseason. Like, he made it look easy. I'm worried about his size and, like, he's really small, but it's very possible that he's much better. Like, he's got enough talent to carry him through that problem.
Yeah, and he's older and polished. Day-Day Westbrook is a nice talent. Again, Blake Bortles. But anyway, let's get out of here, Tags. It was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. Look forward to the DFS show.
Yep, for sure. And for those of you listening at home, remember we've got the David Johnson signed jersey giveaway from pristineauction.com. Thanks again to the sponsors of today's show, DraftKings, where you can compete for $1 billion this week for free, and teamrankings.com, where you can get a promo code teamrankings.com/fantasypros for 10% off or 60% off their annual services. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.